Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Everybody, welcome back.
What's up? It's
another episode. We're getting real close to the NFL season, everybody. It's your guy, Easy Alley. And of course, I'm here with D-Dub.
What's going on, everybody? What's going on?
Next week, the NFL season returns. But there was still a lot of news this past week about what happened in the NFL. There was a lot of player movement, a lot of teams making in, veterans in. Big name free agents that have still been sitting out there, guys who have been requesting trades have been moved. So, you know, it's been very interesting the past couple of days as far as player movement has been going. Let's start with, one of the first things that happened, Yannick Ngakoue finally getting traded from the Jaguars. They've been pretty much cleaning house. The Jaguars have been cleaning house all week. Mm-hmm. D-Dub, let me know, what are your thoughts on the Ngakoue trade?
I mean, I think it's a good pickup for the Vikings. It's a win for them. I think he can, you know, fit in seamlessly there. And it's also a great move for the Jaguars. The player gets what he wants. He gets to go to, you know, to another team. And they get to, you know, move some money around to make room for something else. So I think it's a good fit for both sides, and especially I think the Vikings win more on this because they need a player like him. They need that kind of intensity,
They're a win now team, and they didn't bring back Everson Griffin, who of course ended up with the Cowboys. So they needed somebody else on the other side of Danielle Hunter to, you know, play on the edge and rush the passer. And I think Ngakoue, getting him for a second and a fifth round pick, I think was phenomenal. So, you know, to me, it just, it was very much a smart move on Minnesota's part, because I think they waited. I think this is something that they know they wanted a while ago and something that they could have made happen. But with the declining value of what the Jaguars were asking prior to the trade, I think they waited, and at the right moment, they jumped on the opportunity to get Ngakoue. And, I mean, talking about the Jaguars, I mean, I think everybody's just totally going in a whole different direction. With Tom Coughlin being gone now, and a new front office being in place, they're kind of just getting rid of everybody. It pretty much started with, you know, trading Nick Foles, letting Calais Campbell go. And now, you know, you even saw this week, they let Ngakoue go. They traded their starting strong safety, Ronnie Harrison, to the Cleveland Browns. And then, of course, they let Leonard Fournette go. And they didn't want to pay him the remainder of his contract.
I mean, I think the Fournette was a good move for them, too, because at the end of the day, Leonard Fournette is a remarkable player. Let's not get it twisted. But his talent was being wasted in Jacksonville.
It wasn't just the
team itself either. You know, that Jacksonville was plagued by injuries. Nick Foles, even Leonard Fournette got injured. So like, I think him moving on to another team is just a good fresh start for him and a good fresh start for the team.
Yeah, definitely. I think Jacksonville, like I said, I think they're just in a position to clean the house, starting over. They have their guy in Gardner Minshew that they want to build around, and I think that's their plan. I think they want to build around Gardner Minshew, and who can blame them for that? You found your quarterback of the future, so why not go ahead? But staying with Leonard Fournette, he didn't have to travel too far. He went from Jacksonville to Tampa Bay, about a 2-hour drive. To play with the Buccaneers, and the Buccaneers are fully loaded. We know they already have Peyton Barber. They signed LeSean McCoy a couple weeks back. They're building a super team over there, man.
A super team is understated.
As far as the experiences we've seen the last couple of years with teams getting name brand guys and bringing them over, we've seen the Raiders try to do it.
Time out. We're not talking about bringing over guys. When in the history, granted, it has happened before, but you have possibly one of the best receivers in the league. Sorry, in the history of the league, in Mike Evans. I think he will get there. I think he's going to be a Hall of Famer. Can you agree with that?
It's kind of early to tell. I think he has the talent. I think he has the talent to be that good. I think he's one of the better receivers in the league. Mm-hmm. But, you know, some of the guys that they had have already been there, you know, outside of bringing in Tom Brady and you know, Fournette now, bringing in Gronkowski, you know, they kind of really, you know, had a decent team last year. You know, their defense was they had a pretty good defense last year. Mm-hmm. Shaquille Barrett led the league in sacks last year. They have a pretty damn good secondary. But, you know, it's never really worked, the super team thing. It's never really worked. We've seen it. We've seen it in the past. The Eagles. We've seen the Raiders try it. We've seen, the Detroit Lions try to bring everybody from the Patriots over to the Lions. It doesn't work. So, you know, what are your expectations for Fournette in this offense?
I mean, I definitely think he should start. I mean, over McCoy, don't you think?
Over Peyton Barber?
Peyton Barber should be the starter for sure. But I'm saying Fournette, I think they're just gonna have to let him play it out. Whoever you know, really is more productive. I think with Fournette, he could be more useful on a first and second down, and you can have Barber as a third, fourth down. Because at the end of the day, you've seen the kind of longevity that Fournette has. So I mean, you can, if you structure a game plan correctly, and you know you could use him towards end of the first quarter, beginning of the second quarter. I think he can be effective. To, you know, give some life and give some legs to, you know, Peyton Barber, because at the end of the day, Peyton Barber is a workhorse. But I think if you substitute him for a little bit, I think that team could be more effective. He won't be alone anymore. You know what I'm saying? That backfield is only more enriched. So I think the upscale for Tampa is that now they have a dual threat in the backfield. So they can really do some other things when it comes to his offense. Now Tom Brady has just more weapons. I would like to
see. I think that's cool and all. I mean, I know in the draft they went out and got Tristan Wirfs because they really needed to upgrade their offensive line, because their offensive line wasn't that great last year with Jameis Winston. But to me, that's always been Leonard Fournette's issue. He doesn't create space for himself. He's just a downhill runner. Not to say that you know, that makes him a bad running back. That's okay if he's just a downhill runner, but he needs that type of system. And I just don't see, even with Peyton Barber, I don't see that offensive line just yet as a offensive line that's just going to create major holes for their running backs. We saw last year with New England, that was Tom Brady's biggest issue. That offensive line was porous. It wasn't keeping him protected. It didn't give him enough time to get the ball out. It doesn't matter if you have Rob Gronkowski, Mike Evans, or Chris Godwin. If you don't have the damn time to do it and the pressure's in your face, it doesn't matter who you have as your weapons. You're going to suffer. So, to me, it's never been a part of, you know, bringing all these guys in. You had to fix the offensive line. And I think with the talent that they have on offense, that's what they should have been focusing on. Mm-hmm. We saw, like, you know, Jason Peters was out. We saw, you know, other guys in free agency that they could have targeted. George Fant was out. We had guys like McGovern from the Broncos, and they didn't do any of that. Mm-hmm. They pretty much just said, hey, we're going to draft a tackle and see what happens. So, to me, the offensive line is key. And I just don't understand why you would add another running back to already a full house of running backs when your offensive line isn't fixed. I mean, it's going to be fun to watch Tampa Bay. I think Tom Brady makes them very competitive. Like I said, I think they had a very good defense last year. I think they'll keep that up. But overall, I mean, I'm just, you know, I'm okay. I thought there were other places where Fournette could have went that would have been a better fit for him, New England. And we'll get to who I think is going to end up in New England in a second. But that's somewhere where I thought he could have went. But talking about Patriots or former Patriots, another former Patriot and former Titan is on the move. After spending almost a full offseason on the free agency list, Logan Ryan is now a Giant. Out of nowhere, pretty much. The Giants, who were pretty much strapped for cash throughout the whole season, off season, Logan Ryan, who was pretty much asking for about 12 to 15 million because he wanted to be paid like one of the top guys, or one of the top defensive backs in the league. He ends up getting signed for 1 year, $6.5 million, chance to get, you know, a million as a bonus if he, you know, completes some things like gets a Pro Bowl. So Logan Ryan comes to this Giants secondary, which was looking very bad to begin this season. You know, they only had James Bradbury as far as a guy who really had experience, Jabril Peppers, and that was pretty much it. But now they add in Logan Ryan. They make a trade, of course, a couple days later after signing Logan Ryan with the Broncos to get Isaac Yadome for a seventh-round pick. So, you know, what are your thoughts on those two acquisitions for the Giants?
I mean, it just makes their secondary that much better. Logan Ryan, he is a critical player for the Giants this year. With the repeated attempts at secondary, you've seen it. Giants have cycled through corners like people cycle through underwear, like all the time. Where corners are, we've had some good ones, but we got to keep going through them. And I think he coming in as a DB, we can use him anywhere. We can use him anywhere in the secondary. So I think that it's a great acquisition for us. We didn't have to spend much. I didn't go against the cap that much against the cap. It's a great fit for him to get back on the field. And it's also a great fit for the Giants to get an experienced corner to be able to handle. Because the NFC East has got a multitude of wide receivers that they're going to need help with, especially if they want to go and beat the Cowboys. If the Cowboys, they stopped. They stopped. So you need some DBs that could go man or, you know, cover deep, because the Cowboys are coming. And the Eagles, too. As long as they can get the ball. But,
you know, that's what I like about the deal. To me, the deal is very good because, one, he's versatile, and you can place him anywhere on the field in the secondary. He can play the nickel. He can play the free safety if you want him to come up and play in a box and make tackles. He can do that. I think he's just an overall good defensive back. To me, what impresses me, though, is he fits in this system. You know, he fits in this system. He's going to be able to man up. Bradbury's going to be on the other side being able to do that. And a lot of people haven't talked about James Bradbury this offseason. This is a guy over the last three seasons that's had to face Mike Evans twice a year. He's had to face Michael Thomas twice a year. He's had to face DJ Moore twice a year. So, I mean, not DJ Moore, excuse me, Julio Jones twice a year. And, yeah, I mean, pretty much had to go against DJ Moore in practice all the time. So, you know, he's a guy who's pretty much – you know, he knows what it takes to cover a number one guy. And to me, it's going to be impressive to see those two guys manning up against the Cowboys, manning up against the Eagles, manning up against the Washington football team. Because like you said, man, the NFC East is full of wide receivers. So it's going to be very interesting. I think it was a very good fit for them. Even adding Isaac Yadome from the Broncos, he hasn't really, you know, had that much great success in the league so far, but he's only a third-year player. He's a former third-round pick, and he had an opportunity to, of course, start for Denver last year. So that's going to bring a level of competitiveness and experience to that very young secondary, and I like that move. And, you know, speaking about moves in the NFC East, Adrian Peterson got cut by the Washington football team. A lot of people expected him to start. I expected him to start. There was no way. 2 days ago, you told me Adrian Peterson is not starting for the football team, and I would have believed that because I thought that he had pretty much had a good camp. The reports were he was taking reps with the ones pretty much all offseason, and they cut him. What do you think about that, man?
To be honest, I think it's a long time. It was a long time coming. Granted, I think AP still has a little bit of juice in him. I just don't. To be honest, I wouldn't want to be running behind that line no more. You've seen how their season ended up last year. They can't protect a quarterback. I mean, at his age, you need a line that you can run behind that's going to give you at least a little more protection. And to be honest, I don't see him as a starting back, but I do see him coming in, you know, as a second back, because I'm telling you, and I've been saying, the dual running back system is the way to go. Having multiple running backs and just ready to go, and was it his experience and his explosiveness? You've seen it, even when they were losing, he was still trucking people and he was still moving. But I think for him and for the Washington team, it was an amicable thing, because he needs to move on to another team where I think he can produce and help a team win, compared to, you know, a team that was out of control. Everybody knows the Washington team was out of control, from the offensive line to the quarterback situation to the running back situation. Like, it was absolute chaos.
Okay. Where do you think he fits in? What team do you think would be able to use Adrian Peterson right now?
If I had to look at a team for him, We'll come back to that. That's a good question.
You don't have a team where you think Adrian is. You say he needs to go somewhere that he can help win. You don't have one team right now that you think he can help win.
I mean, shoot, it really depends on the system that they're running, because remember, Adrian Peterson really runs out of the single back or the eye. You know what I'm saying? He's not really one of those West Coast offense guys. I mean, he has some hands, but you're not throwing passes to him all the time. You know what I'm saying? Offenses that they're trying to run now in the NFL, I'm not saying that he can't be useful. You just got to make sure he's in the right system. And with all the moves and all the trades and everything, we don't even know what team is playing what system yet.
I see that. To me, I think there's two teams that could actually use him. The first team that I think could use him is the Tennessee Titans. A nice veteran presence for Derrick Henry. They run the football a lot. They like to run that zone scheme a little bit, power eye formation with Derrick Henry. I think he fits there. I think he can go into that team. He can spell Derrick Henry on third downs and give him a breather every now and then and still be productive, because they have a pretty good offensive line, I think.
Actually, that's a very good pick.
Yeah, even though I think, you know, they should have re-signed Taylor Lewan, which they did not. It's okay. You know, I still think they have a pretty solid offensive line, and I think that's somewhere where he could fit. Second team I have in mind is New England. Who doesn't fit in New England? If you do something good, Bill Belichick will find a role for you. Bill Belichick is the type of guy who plays, he bases his game plan off of the opponent and how he's feeling that week. So a week where he thinks AP is that guy, and AP goes out and rushes for 160 yards. So, you know, it's he can fit in that type of system, as they would tailor it to his skill set if needed. So those are two teams that jump off to me right off the bat when it comes to where Adrian Peterson can land. But not to forget about the Washington football team. As far as them letting Adrian Peterson go, the noise has been that Antonio Gibson has been the guy. He's been very impressive in practice. He's been effective in practice running behind that offensive line. And one thing that I just talked about with Leonard Fournette earlier is he's able to create space for himself.
Yes, be able to create
yards out of nothing. So where do you think the Washington football team goes with, you know, is in the future after letting AP go?
They got a lot of issues to fix. And they got to fix those first before they can start thinking about the future of the football team. But as they got to find they got to be able to fill that backfield, because that situation is horrendous. You let go of AP, no Darius Geis.
With his legal situation.
It's a mess. It's a mess. And the quarterback situation, I mean, granted, you do have Haskins, but he didn't have the greatest year, because I'm not going to lie. I think the Redskins set him up. They should have never played him like that. Granted, I do think the rookie needs some experience, but you should have let the veteran just go ahead and finish that game, and you could have started him fresh instead of starting a rookie in the middle.
Yeah, that's besides
But I do think new ownership.
New regime in with the coaches, so you know it's going to be a little different far as how they said that.
But what I'm saying is, you know, he has to rebound from that, and that's not on him. That really was what the organization did to them. But I think he will rebound well, especially the way that the defense is going to be playing. I think that the offense is going to have a little spike. They just got to fix that backfield. And of course, you got Terry who's been beasting. Lauren.
So I mean, that's definitely a good point. I think the receivers, if you have good wide receivers, it helps your running game. So I think that's definitely something that's a big point. But and I think that they need to find out who's going to be their next guy outside of Terry McLaurin, and who's gonna step up to be their guy at tight end. So I think once they figure those two things out, it is going to help the running game.
And they need to do the tight end position as well. It's not over.
They still have time to pick up running backs if needed. A lot of people are getting cut today. Today is the final day, is the deadline for final cuts, 4 p.m. So, there might be some guys who hit the waiver that they're interested in and that they can pick up. So it's going to be very interesting to see how that unfolds. But of course, as we come to an end with the first half, go get a drink, do what you do.
You already know.
Be right back. Second down, we're back. D-Dub, get right into it, man. There's been a couple of cuts. Today is the deadline for cut day, so go ahead with the cuts, man.
We've got a multitude of cuts, and people be getting dropped like flies. And like the Dolphins, they dropped Josh Rosen, and
after trading the second round pick for him last year.
Yeah, so that's a loss. That's a big loss.
Yep.
I don't understand that one. I mean, I understand why, you get rid of a quarterback, but why trade for a second round pick and then lose it by cutting him? But that's just whatever.
Tua. That's why.
I know. I get to, no. That's evident. That's evident. But at least you traded for a second round. At least let him sit on the bench or just like, come on, bro. Like
That's true.
It doesn't make any sense. You got no value. You just gave away a second round pick for nothing.
Yeah.
But Tua is the future. But remember, he's still coming off an injury. So Josh Rosen at least has 1 year of experience.
Yep.
But I think for the Dolphins, they're just gonna have to ride that out. They're already on the train. But we also had the Patriots as well. The Patriots released Lamar Miller, and before.
AP.
You were talking about AP.
AP.
AP in the Patriots system can work. I think it can work. With this kind with that kind of system and Bill Belichick, I think AP can do some work.
Exactly.
He's gonna do some work.
Yes, sir.
And him and Cam and Sony Michel, that backfield is going to be crazy. But
if he gets there, that would be ideal for them.
It would be ideal for them.
I think AP fits perfectly.
It would give a nice rotation to the backfield. And you'd be able to switch your offense around in ways you couldn't do with Tom Brady. So I think for them it would be a nice fit. But it is yet to be seen. We haven't seen any negotiations. We haven't heard any news about it. But if he does land there, it's a good spot for him. It's a very good spot for him. But it wasn't the last. It wasn't the cuts that were the biggest news of the day. The biggest news of the day was the extensions and and those who got signed. Deshaun Watson extension, $160 million for over 4 years. Congratulations, Deshaun Watson. It's about damn time. Because that man has
Before you continue, I know people have been harsh. people have been real harsh on Bill O'Brien this offseason for DeAndre Hopkins and what he did. People have been really hard on him, but you know, if you look at what he's done after letting him go, he's kind of gotten guys that actually fit what he's trying to do. He got David Johnson, who if healthy can be a 1,500-yard rusher. Yeah, he also brought in Brandon Cooks. He's also brought in Brandon Cooks, who in his what 6 or 7 seasons has only had 2 seasons without reaching 1,000 yards.
True.
He brought in Randall Cobb, who's a veteran guy who produced for Dallas last year, who can still get you first downs. And then, of course, you have Will Fuller on the outside. You still got Kiki QT, who, if he can stay healthy, can bring another element of speed to the offense. And he's rewarded guys like Laremy Tunsil on the offensive line. I think he's done a pretty decent job of building his team around Deshaun Watson. And to go ahead and lock in Deshaun Watson for another 4 years, give him a chance, of course, after those 4 years to even resign for bigger money if you're successful, I just think Bill O'Brien has done a pretty good job, even after letting DeAndre Hopkins go.
I mean, I think the DeAndre Hopkins situation was just beneficial for both parties.
I agree.
I think that they could have made it work? Possibly. But it is what it is now. But Deshaun Watson he's overdue. He's overdue. Because the games that he plays and the way that he has come back in a lot of situations and the beating he has taken, he is way overpaid to still be producing the way that he does. Especially with the offensive line, it was completely utter trash, and I'm glad that they're addressing it. He's way overdue. He's way overdue. From Kansas City. Wow.
Oh, Patrick Mahomes.
It was Deshaun Watson we were talking about, and you know, even though Kansas City made that long term move and that long term deal. I think Deshaun Watson was very overlooked, but I think that's something else in the making. Because the NFL's the market is going to be saturated with overpaid quarterbacks.
To me, I think this is pretty much. I'm happy about this because we needed another rivalry. I think Peyton versus Tom Brady was the last real rivalry that we had in the NFL. Like quarterback versus quarterback wise, like I don't think we've seen that in a very long time or since then. To me, over the last couple of seasons, we finally started to get that Patrick Mahomes versus Deshaun Watson, and it's been and you know what? Fuck Garoppolo, man. You don't ever belong in any type of conversation with top quarterbacks. Don't ever, man. I'm gonna act like I didn't even hear you say that. Fans disregard what you just heard from him, Jimmy. All right, so Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes, they've been kind of going at it the last couple of seasons. And the Kansas City Chiefs, they win the Super Bowl. They go ahead and make Patrick Mahomes the highest-paid quarterback ever. Then a couple months later, boom, the Texans do the same thing. And now Deshaun Watson is the second-highest-paid quarterback in the NFL. And these guys are just talent-wise. They're damn near almost on the same level. These guys can ball out. They play really good. And to me, it just adds something to the rivalry. Like, at first it was like, oh, damn, he's paid. What about me? Now he comes back like, yeah, I'm paid now too. So, you know, it's all about what's up. It's what we do on the field. And to me, having that opportunity, getting paid a week before you see them to open the NFL season, it kind of gives you a little bit of an edge. It gives you a little bit of some motivation. And to me, like, I'm just so happy that we have this rivalry because, you know, even if these guys are cool, they're friendly with each other, from the outside looking in, you can see the rivalry. It's there. And, you know, I think the Texans have done a good job trying to build that team in order around Deshaun Watson in order to be successful. And I'm really excited about the extension. I love it. He got $111 million guaranteed. I love it for both sides, Deshaun Watson and the Texans. I just think it's an overall great, great hell of a deal.
No, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
And there was another extension earlier this week, man.
Absolutely.
And the nerve of you to talk about Leonard Fournette in the same sentence as Joe Mixon when we talked about this off air earlier. Joe Mixon deserves every bit of that extension. He's come a long way. We know about his history at Oklahoma. You know, we know about what happened there, which we don't need to get into any detail about on this show. But we know he's come a long way. He's produced. He has produced ever since he became the starter in Cincinnati. I think I always say this. When you get a young quarterback, you need to have a solid tight end that he can grow with. You need to have a solid lineman that he can grow with. And you need to have a solid running back that he can grow with. And the perfect complement to Joe Burrow is to not be able to shoulder everything in his rookie year. And to have a guy like Joe Mixon in the backfield who can, A, create space, B, be a downhill runner, and C, score touchdowns for you, I think it helps the young quarterback. And I love the deal. 4 years, $48 million. I love the deal for Joe Mixon. I love the deal for Zach Taylor, the head coach, and the Cincinnati Bengals.
And Tyler Boyd and AJ Green, it's only an uptick for them. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
The Cincinnati Bengals look like a win now team, and I think with the addition of all of the players, I think they're gonna make a lot of noise.
I think they can be very competitive. I don't think Joe Burrow is scared of the moment. I think he's ready to play under the big lights. And I think, like I said, locking down a running back to pair with your quarterback for the future, I think once you have they've made some additions to the offensive line. Jonah Williams is coming back. He didn't play at all his rookie year because he was hurt. So I think they have all the right ingredients, and to add Joe Mixon in for the future into that, I think they can be very competitive in the AFC North. Do I think they can win the AFC North? Hell no. Nah. I think they can win 6 to 7 games. Yeah. I don't think they're going to win more than that. I don't think they're going to win more games than the damn Browns. I don't think they're going to win more than the Steelers or the Ravens. But I think they can be competitive, you know.
Yeah,
so
I think
I think they're taking a step in the right direction. Joe Mixon being extended helps them with that tremendously.
No. You're absolutely right. And I think it's the right move. I think it's the right move because he's only going to continue growing with the team. And with a player like him that's already in the system, he's only expanding the playbook. You can tailor it more to him because he's already been there. But
right.
I do think that they're gonna have a great start to the season. They're playing the Chargers, the Browns, and the Eagles. Those are gonna be the first three tests for them. And I think that all three of those games are gonna be very competitive. And I think that they can win those games. But we're just going to have to wait and see. But it's a good addition for them, and I'm glad they did it because that would have been a big loss for them.
Yep. And also, speaking about offensive linemen growing with quarterbacks, you look over, I mean, unfortunately, there's no quarterback for him to grow with over in Indianapolis right now. But there's still a team for him to grow with. That's Ryan Kelly, the center. And now he is officially the highest-paid center ever. What are the details on his extension?
It's a 4-year, $50 million deal, and it's $34 million guaranteed.
I think, I like what the Colts have done, man, with that team. That offensive line is phenomenal. From Quentin Nelson all the way down to Ryan Kelly in the middle. You can't forget about, what's the other lineman's name? It's not at the top of my head right now. But, I mean, they just have a pretty good offensive line that they have built. And that's what I think that is going to help Phillip Rivers, make a comeback this season, because he doesn't have to stay in the pocket and get beat up like he was getting the last couple of years in Los Angeles. So to me, you know, I really like what they've done. I really like the improvements on the offensive line. It's a great extension. Keep your offensive line together for as long as you can, especially if it's working. Especially if it's working. The one team we've seen do that consistently over the last couple of years have been the Dallas Cowboys. And look at their offensive line. Look at their running numbers over the last couple of years. They are one of the top teams every single year running the football. They're one of the top teams every single year with low turnovers. They're one of the top teams every year with, you know, protecting the quarterback and not allowing that many sacks because they have continuity and talent along the offensive line. And that's what the Indianapolis Colts have done, and that's what they're doing with this extension with Ryan Kelly.
No, you're absolutely right. And it wasn't unexpected, but the Seahawks and Josh Gordon, they're amicable again. They signed an agreement. Well. And I think it's a great fit. You know, that story that with Josh Gordon is kind of tainted out there, but the man can play. Give him a shot. He could play. As much as people think he's a liability, he's so much worth the risk. I don't care what you say. That man can play, no doubt. And going back to Seattle, I think him and Russell, they already have that connection. It's a great fit for him to go back into, and it's easy. It makes sense. When you have a player like that and you just don't want to let
him. He's comfortable in the system. Yeah.
It's not even comfortable in the system. But remember, Pete Carroll's also about family. So that's the type of system. And so is Russell Wilson. So that's the type of system that they have over there. So I'm glad that he's back over there with his family, that his second family, but now his new family. But I'm glad he's back.
Yeah, I think it's a great move for them to keep Josh Gordon. You know, you look at it how well he played for them at the end of last season before getting hurt, and of course, you know, the emergence of DK Metcalf. I think they gave Russell Wilson two great options on the outside. Yeah. Two guys who can really ball out and make plays in the passing game. So I think that really helps the Seahawks a lot in that regard.
Man, if the Seahawks,
I like it a lot, man.
If the Seahawks had those two receivers with the healthy Marshawn Lynch,
that's neither here nor there.
But
he's living in them glory days, man. With Rashad Penny, Chris Carson, these guys still have a chance to produce, to be special.
They do.
The defense looks good.
They weren't that far from getting to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, they added Jamal Adams. You know, I love Russell Wilson. To me, he was the MVP last year. I know Lamar Jackson earned it and deserved it, but I really, really like Russell Wilson. I think he's one of the better quarterbacks in the league right now. And it's going to be interesting to see. I think adding Josh Gordon back into the fold is definitely going to be beneficial for the Seahawks in the long run, and especially playing in that tough, tough NFC West.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, you're absolutely right about that. But there's actually one team in the NFC that has been doing phenomenally in free agency, and that's the Dallas Cowboys. Randy Gregory has been reinstated to the NFL, so their team looks absolutely ridiculous now.
Yeah, they got Alden Smith, they got Everson Griffin, they drafted Neville Brown, who I think is going to be a stud in the middle of that defense. I think he's like the one player that nobody has talked about, and he goes to a perfect situation. And you add those guys, those linebackers, to Kyle Vander Esch and Jalen Smith. I think the Cowboys defensively, man, they're going to be something to watch out for. You know, I still think they're reeling off the loss of Byron Jones to Miami. I think they'll be able to recover because I think their pass rush is going to be very dominant next year. I think the Cowboys, you know, adding those guys with DeMarcus Lawrence, they're going to be a problem, you know. And we'll see what kind of shape Randy Gregory is in, We'll see how much he plays. But even without him, they are a fully loaded team. But to be able to get him
offensively
back,
and defensively.
Yeah, to be able to get Randy Gregory back, and if they're able to get him in some sort of program where he's, you know, staying straight, you know, staying on his P's and Q's and being a good, you know, football player and a good teammate.
Being a professional.
I think, being professional. There you go. I think if he could be professional, because that's all we want to be about. We just want to be professional. Here, cover season, we're about being professional. If you can be professional and be a good teammate and be a good player, I think he can earn a spot in the rotation, and I think they can win. But we're going to end on that note. We're going to get back to you guys with some basketball later. Be sure to tune in. We're going to talk about our past game threes. We got the game threes for Milwaukee and Miami that we're going to cover. We're also going to cover game three or possibly even game four. Game four of Boston and Toronto. So we'll catch y'all later. Be sure, of course, to check us out on YouTube and a cover season on Anchor. D-Dub, let them know.
You already know. You ain't got to go, but we'll have to catch you later.